SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz ACC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number 10 is on the horizon, but we take a look back at week number 9. Some dynamic performances will start in South Beach. Miami dominates Florida State. Yet again, they move on to 8-0 overall. They win 36-14. This is a matchup where Cam Ward didn't have to do a whole lot. This game was won in the trenches. Give me your thoughts about how that performance played out last Saturday night.
You know, it's really one of the first Florida State-Miami games I've ever seen without any drama, without all the jabbering and the talk back and forth. It was just a methodical win by Miami. We didn't have to see heroics by the quarterback or come from behind. They just were better, and they were better. They just took the game over and over. Just a methodical approach. And so it's a different type of game for Miami, but I think it was good that they go out there and understand you can't always depend on your quarterback to bring you back in the last minutes of a ball game.
I think the biggest takeaway as well is the killer instinct, right? They had played three straight close performances, Virginia Tech, Cal, and Louisville, three straight games. And this was an opportunity to really dominate an undermanned Florida State team. This was a Florida State team that had won the previous two meetings by an average margin of 10-plus per game, right? So they started fast. Not only that, but the rushing attack with Damian Martinez is starting to come alive. He rushes for 148 yards in the game, two big touchdowns. Offensive line now starting to get a push. They're more balanced than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I think that will really benefit them heading into potentially an ACC title game.
Yeah, I don't think you get late in the season and you start playing the best teams, or they do get to a conference championship or the playoffs. You've got to have a balanced attack. You can't play the better teams without a balanced attack. Now, FSU is a perfect team to make your running game get better because that's what Miami was able to do. But I do think there is some excitement about playing your rivalry. You know, Miami made a lot to do about, or their coach had a lot, made a lot to do about being the state champion. They beat Florida. They beat South Florida. They beat Florida A&M, and they beat Florida State. And to those, and a majority of those guys on each team are still from Florida. Maybe not all the big names, but the majority of their roster are both from Florida, and it's very important that they win that game. So they didn't. There was a lot of jiving with each other and talking to each other and getting on each other, but it was important to Miami that they win that game.
Now they face off against a very good Duke Blue Devil team. We'll break down that game a little bit later in the show. Florida State, we talk about it week to week. When does Mike Norvell stop the bleeding? They're 1-7 overall. They've traveled this week at home, underdogs. This team right now is reeling. They're searching for an identity. They have no answers offensively and defensively. They were converted 3 of 13 in terms of third down conversions, undisciplined, 8 penalties for another 65 yards. Each and every week they seem to be getting worse as opposed to progressing. Where does Mike Norvell turn now in week number 10, and is it going to get better over the next few weeks?
I don't know that it can get better. It started with the quarterback problem. They put all their eggs in one basket with DJU, and it didn't come through. He wasn't what they expected. They lost their recruiting war for Cam Ward, and second choice didn't turn out that good. And then with all the portal transfer players, I've said this several times, I'm wondering what kind of attitude they have when they come there being told they're going to be 13-0, they're going to play for a championship, and all of a sudden they only have one win. All of a sudden they stop performing, and you see it happen all over the team. So I really don't know. You hope they can get a win somewhere, but I don't see one that's going to come easy down the line.
Now we'll see how that plays out over the next few weeks for Mike Norvell and the Florida State Seminoles. The best game in the conference, Coach, was played in Durham last weekend, right? SMU on the road is an 11.5-point road favorite. The game goes to overtime. The Mustangs prevail 28-27. This team is not only one of the best in the conference, but potentially a dark horse to make the college football playoff.
Well, they got an outstanding quarterback, and they play fast, and they score points, and they're an exciting football team. They've got themselves in the hunt, but they have a problem. They turned the ball over six times in that football game and against none, 6-0. And they won the game, which almost never happens. I went back and looked at the national stats. They're 131st in the nation in fumble losses. Incidentally, Duke is number one in recoveries, but it makes you think they've got to have ball security because that's not just one game. They fumbled the ball six times in that game, only lost three of them. But they're a great football team, but they've got to get back to practice and work on ball security because now every team they play against in the future is going to be stripping that ball, strip that ball out, and that's what's going to happen. So great team. They've got some coaching to do to make sure they don't carry that ball so loosely.
And to your point, Kevin Jennings, the backup quarterback that took over for Preston Stone, 258 yards through the air, one touchdown, but three interceptions last week. He needs to clean that up, especially in terms of this week's matchup. When you look at SMU, though, Coach, they're running the football consistently, 211 yards on the ground, average well over 4 yards per carry. As long as SMU remains balanced, they could go toe-to-toe with the likes of the Clemson Tigers down the road, or even the Miami Hurricanes, for that matter.
Joe, you're right. I think the thing that's wrong is our perception of SMU. Many people who are not as old as I am don't remember when they had the great teams before they had the death penalty. And as they've come back, they were always at kind of a mid-between level or a lower level. But now that they're in the conference, over the last four or five, they've made a huge commitment into recruiting, into their facilities, into having a big-time program. And I'll be honest with you, when I watch their offense and defense and the athletes that they have, there's no question to me they're going to remain a top team in the ACC. And I got a feeling they'll be hanging around when it comes down to conference championship time or playoff time. They're going to be hanging around and want to be heard.
Yeah, holding opposing offenses to less than 20 points per game heading into that matchup last week. They were very good in run support, so we'll see how it plays out. They are playing at home this weekend, 7.5-point home favorites over the Pitt Panthers and Eli Holstein. All Pitt does, baby, is win football games. They did it again on Friday night. They dominate Syracuse, 5 interceptions against Kyle McCord. But, oh, by the way, Coach, 3 of those were taken to the house as pick sixes. Holstein didn't have to do all that much, 108 yards through the air, but Pitt's defense is now starting to come around at just the right time.
Well, Pittsburgh, they have a great coaching staff, a great head coach, and they've always played tough football. I think last year was a bit of an anomaly to how they played over the years. But let me tell you something. When you have 3 interceptions for touchdowns, you're not supposed to win that day. You're not supposed to win. I played LSU one year and beat them 31-28, and we did not score one touchdown. We had 4 turnovers that went for touchdowns, but that doesn't happen once in a lifetime. But again, the way they're playing, though, they continue to play very, very well and find a way to win.
When you see these teams, we talk about Pitt and their quarterback, but now the defense coming. We know about Clemson, always predicated on defense and very good against elite competition. No matter who wins the ACC this year, body of work, when you look at the top 4 teams, could they go up against the likes of Georgia and some of the teams in the SEC, depending upon how it plays out? Or do you still believe they're a cut below some of those teams in the Big Ten and SEC respectively?
Yeah, you know, I still think there are 4 or 5 teams that from a talent perspective, they're above everybody else. The first thing I ever do when I'm evaluating a game, I look at the talent level and see if it's different. And I can probably name 4 teams right now that have more talent than the teams they're going to play. And Pittsburgh would not be in that top level of talent. But the problem is we're seeing, I think about especially out of Ohio State and maybe Texas, they're not playing up to their talent level. So the thing that we can see now, if those teams with all this talent, the NFL talent, don't play up to where they should be playing, these teams like Pitt can beat them on any day. They can play, they'll be able to beat them on those kind of days.
Absolutely. And Pitt, should they strike the upset over SMU this weekend, they'll be undefeated and heading into week number 11 with a 10-0 overall record. So keep an eye out for that. When Coach and I return, we'll break down some of the bigger matchups in the ACC for week number 10. Joe Lisi, Terry Bowden coming right back on the Bowden Blitz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz ACC edition. Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden breaking down week number 10 in the conference. Huge battle taking place in South Beach, Miami, fresh off the dominating home win over Florida State. Now opens as a 21.5-point home favorite over the Duke Blue Devils and Manny Diaz. Duke right now sitting at 6-2. Their quarterback Malik Murphy did have a dynamic performance against SMU, couldn't pull it out. Over 200 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. The last time these teams played back in 2022, Duke did get the 20-plus victory over the Hurricanes. Coach, how do you see this game playing out?
No, I'm excited to see it. I mean, Miami's got the best talent, and it'll be hard for them to lose this game. But Manny Diaz, you know, he has a couple of things. One, he's from Miami, and this is a huge game for the former Miami coach. But he's going to pressure. He's going to come after that quarterback. He loves to penetrate and pressure quarterbacks. And I believe, and he goes back to when his first coaching job was with my dad at Florida State, and he learned that penetration defense. I can see them going after Cam, making something happen, probably play a little zone blitz where they play deep behind a blitz. Because when you blitz, the blitz takes up the run and also pressures the quarterback. But you got, when you're playing deep, you give up those short throws. But I believe they're going to come after him because that's not the only way Manny Diaz knows how to play.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. This is the matchup for me. I'll get your take on it. You know, you look at Duke right now, giving up 160 rushing yards per game. We talked about it in opening segment. They allowed well over 200 to SMU, right? So if you're Miami and Damian Martinez and their backup running back Fletcher, you got to be licking your chops saying, we have to run the football on this front seven. But the other matchup for me is obviously Cam Ward going up against that secondary. They're only giving up 166 passing yards per game. They're holding opposing quarterbacks to 57%. Completion percentage. They might force Cam Ward to dink and dunk down the field, short to intermediate throws, to be patient. How do you see that matchup playing out from the Duke's perspective?
You read my mind. That's exactly what I think they're going to do. They're going to come after Cam Ward. They're going to make sure and then play a zone behind it and make him dink and dunk and see if he's patient enough to do it. And then they can get to him and maybe get him flustered a little bit. But I don't think they want to. You can't sit back and let Cam Ward have all day, because you know what? He'll take all day. He'll sit there as long as he has to till somebody comes open. So I think you're going to see that. And the thing about a blitz, if a blitz is done correctly, it blitzes into the run and it shows after the quarterback. So you're really trying to take care of both things at one time. Blitz, especially a zone blitz, where you're blitzing through the runs to the quarterback, you're kind of making sure you don't give up one to get the other.
Yeah, and I think if this game does get into a shootout, you know, in the high 50s, 60s, that would benefit Cam Ward in that offense. They're averaging well over 300 passing yards per game, pounding the rock now for about 194 yards per game. Damian Martinez coming on. They have fresh legs in the ballgame at all times, and the offensive line shows continuity. They're coming into form at the end of the regular season, and that's what you want to see. But, you know, Malik Murphy and Duke's offense, they're more methodical, but they do put up points. Malik Murphy does have 17 touchdowns this year, only 5 interceptions. You look at Duke last year, Coach, they only had 14 touchdown passes as a team. Malik Murphy through week number 9 has already eclipsed that. He's been a great addition to that offense this season.
Well, I think he's the reason Duke is what they are. They're a much better football team. And as far as the mid-conference level team goes, they're having an outstanding season. But I say this again, there's a different level at the top. If you get to Clemson or Miami, or if Miami and Clemson think they're where Georgia is and Oregon is, Miami has got to come out there and win this game without having to worry too much if they're moving toward the level of play that they're going to need to win an SEC championship or have a chance to compete for the national championship. As good as Duke plays, Miami has got to take control of this game as they get better and better late in the season.
I like the under 54.5. I do lean to the Duke Blue Devils with the points because of Malik Murphy and because Manny Diaz is an aggressive defensive play caller. I'll take the points in that matchup. When you look at the other game in the conference, Coach, Clemson and Louisville. Clemson coming off a bye. They're 4-0. At home this year, they've won those games by an average margin of victory of 28.4 points per game. Did pick up a win 2 weeks ago against Virginia, 48-31. They've dominated the series against Louisville. They have won 8 straight heading into this matchup, but they're coming out of a bye, and we always talk about a bye being a benefit or a detriment to a team. How do you see the bye week affecting Clemson heading into week number 10?
Well, I think they need it this late in the season. You need that bye week to get well. And Louisville may be the best team they play for the rest of the season. They don't line up against Miami. So this is probably the team they've got to beat to get through. And Louisville is a lot better than their record. They have lost 3 games, football games, that, man, they could have won very easily against really good football teams. But, again, I really consider that Clemson, really, once they lost, I think of Georgia and I think of Clemson. Georgia lost that Alabama game. From that point forward, they've been getting better and better. You know, then Clemson lost that Georgia game, and from that point on, they're getting better and better. The key is Cade Klubnik has become an outstanding quarterback. He's throwing the deep ball, and there's one thing Louisville has a trouble with. They have trouble with the vertical deep pass, and that's what Klubnik loves to do right now.
And you saw them get exposed a couple of weeks ago against Miami. Cam Ward had great success over the middle part of the field in that 7-point win. So we'll see how that plays out from a defensive perspective. When you look at Clemson right now, averaging 190 rushing yards per game. They're throwing for 290 yards per game through the air with Klubnik. He's played very well, completing well over 65% of his passes, 20 touchdowns. And Coach, Clemson's offensive line has only allowed 6 sacks. So they're allowing Cade Klubnik the time to locate his wide receivers this season.
Well, again, you're looking at the running game is going with the passing game. And it doesn't matter which one comes first. He's hitting the vertical passes downfield, and now that spreads out the safeties of the secondary. So that running game starts working. And then when the defensive line has to worry about a run to a pass, they can't put their ears back and go after the quarterback. So that run game helps them protect the quarterback, easier to protect the quarterback when you're running the football, and it gives the quarterback a break every now and then, not have to throw every down.
And Louisville's coming off a come-from-behind win against Boston College. They trailed by double digits last Friday and won it 31-27. When Coach and I return, we'll dive into the battle in SMU, Pittsburgh, and the Mustangs coming up next on the Bowden Blitz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden breaking down week number 9. In number 10, in the ACC. We left off talking about the battle in Death Valley, Clemson and Louisville. Clemson opens as a 10.5-point home favorite. Coach, they've only lost 3 games dating back to 2015 straight up at home. They've been a dominant home team this year and in years past. I don't know if Louisville wins this game, but I do feel they're within the 10.5-point number. And I do feel that the game trends under the 63.5-point total.
Well, I having been an analyst back there, 2019, 2020, I was on that sideline for 2 years. We went 20-22-1 during that time. And what happens is you start to feel that atmosphere, that Death Valley atmosphere. They've got a culture and a swagger back at Clemson. And back then you had a swagger. It's not the same thing as the Miami swagger. It's their own culture, their own style. But that's why I think they will cover against the spread. I believe when you get to that environment and where they're playing right now and how tough it was on Dabo and that coaching staff and that team the last couple of years where they weren't the elite teams of the country, they've got a taste of it again, and they will play a great game at home. And I see them, their program, elevating themselves just like we've seen Georgia and like we've seen these other teams toward the end of the season, Miami, elevate themselves toward the end of the game, end of the season.
It's a 7:30 kick under the lights in Death Valley. Coach likes Clemson. I like the Louisville Cardinals. We'll see how that game plays out. The biggest game potentially in the conference is in SMU. SMU at home, coming off the 1-point home road victory over Duke, 28-27, opens as a 7.5-point home favorite over Eli Holstein and the Pitt Panthers. Like I mentioned, blue-collar football, they're doing it on the defensive side of the ball. Seems like a huge number, especially with Kevin Jennings, the SMU quarterback, a little bit banged up. Holstein is as well. But give me the Pitt Panthers with the points. I think they're in this game from start to finish, Coach.
I got you, and I'm taking the Panthers with the points. I just every now and then you see a team that just finds a way to win. They've got that chemistry. They play games tough. They just find a way to pull it out. That's the way I see Pittsburgh this year. They've been so good at winning close ball games and not getting themselves behind. I love the way they play. I think they'll play a great ball game, but I do think they'll, with the points that they're getting, I got to go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and you look at SMU right now, very balanced offense, averaging 201 rushing yards per game. They're throwing for 242 yards per game through the air with Jennings and those elite wide receivers converting, Coach, 46% on third down conversions, right? As an offense, when you're converting almost five of every 10 attempts, you're sustaining drives and keeping opposing offenses on the sidelines. The biggest strength, though, for me is the front seven. They're giving up 88 rushing yards per game, and more importantly, in the secondary, holding opposing quarterbacks to only 53% completion percentage. They have that type of effort against Holstein in Pittsburgh. Could be a long day for the Panthers.
Well, again, it's going to be a low-scoring game, I feel. I feel like the Panthers know how to play defense, and they'll do a good job. As fast as SMU plays, I think Pitt will be prepared for it. And another thing, I think one thing that happens, when you put the ball on the ground, fumble six times in the previous game, you lost three of them, but you put it on the ground six times, you're going to see Pittsburgh stripping that ball, pulling that ball out every time, because that's been a problem for SCU. We haven't noticed it, because they've won their ball games. But if you go back and look at every single ball game, they've got 10 fumbles for the year, and they're 131 out of 133 in teams. But again, I just think Pittsburgh's going to hang around. There's going to be a turnover or something, and they're going to win the game against this SMU football team.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has been very opportunistic in recent weeks. They're averaging 160 rushing yards per game, throwing for 282 yards with Holstein and that high-powered offense, averaging well over 26 points per game heading into this matchup. So we'll see how it plays out. And Pittsburgh as well, very good on the defensive side of the ball, holding opposing offenses to only 2.7 yards per carry. They're holding opposing quarterbacks to only 57% completion percentage. So lower scoring game. We'll see how this plays out. You always want to take the points. What's the biggest factor, Coach, when you do coach on the road? What is the biggest attribute as an offense that you want to do? Is it running the football or sustaining drives, time of possession?
Sustaining drives, so keep the crowd out of it. Make sure you stay on the field and you run your offense and you have a good – preparation plan going into the game. That's very, very important as you go into a game like this. Again, being at home with SMU, it's going to be a factor for them. But again, Pittsburgh, I think, plays pretty good on the road.
We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz. For Coach Terry Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week.